fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Morning to dancing. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame.
guys can have your seats.
Good morning, Western Hills.
And good morning, everybody out in cyberspace and online. Glad you're here. Everybody wave at the cyberspace people. We're glad to have them. I'm Karen Manor, Kids Minister, and I'm here to talk to you about Splash Night. So on Friday night, we're having Splash Night, and you know, I was thinking about this. We have weathered a lot over the last couple of years. Families have dealt with loss, and we've dealt with issues and illness, and we have worked well together to live out the reality of Jesus. We collected supplies, thanks to everybody that did that, to love on the community at MacArthur. Yesterday, some guys worked around the building pulling weeds. A couple of guys were here all week painting. There's a Connect group that worked 1 week, moving furniture and painting so that we could have the kids' worship room, which is across the hall. There's kids and sponsors that's been to camp, some that are coming back from camp today, some are going to camp Monday. We've worked to live out the reality of Jesus together as a family. The Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing. So I believe a church that plays together stays together. So thank goodness for Troy Morath and Ultimate Bounce, because that guy is bringing 5 water inflatables here on our soccer field Friday night. Now, y'all, when I was growing up, we had a water hose and a long piece of vinyl, and it was a party. And I'm telling you, this is level up. This is like slip and slide on steroids, what Troy has. I've only seen pictures, and I'm so excited. And we're going to have hot dogs, and there's going to be snow cones. And this is for everybody, not just the kids, but everybody. Did you hear that? It's for you, too. It's for everybody. All you boomers and everybody else, you come and enjoy it too. And Danny Pang, who's our guest speaker today, he's gonna be our DJ. That's worth coming for right there. So besides the fact that it is for everybody, we are gonna have something special for the kids. Our super summer kids intern, Shelby Riggins, has been working on a special snack. And I can't tell you what it is, because it's a surprise, but I will tell you, it involves pudding and Airheads and Teddy Grahams. That's all I can say. But bring the kids for that special snack, and we want to see you here on Friday night. Bring some towels and lawn chairs. There's a place that's shady where you can sit out if you want to just watch the kids. And all you that are young at heart, you're allowed on the equipment, right, Troy? It says all ages, so you can slide down. So be here, and we'll have some fun together. And until I see you again, have a great week.
You know, I want to see adults, because I'm going to have my camera rolling. I think that'll be awesome. Man, I'll be there because I think it's going to be fun. My name is Danny Payne. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. I was the youth pastor here in a galaxy far, far away and a long ago. But it is such a privilege to be here. I am the new director of missions for Flint Hills Association, which basically I shepherd and encourage and walk along all the churches that are kind of in our area. And so I stepped into that role. I was pastoring before down in Derby. And so I'm just excited to be a part of this series. I love this 23rd Psalm series a whole bunch. This is one of my favorites. I love where it's going. I love what it's about. And so before we jump in, I just would like to pray. And then let's see what God has for us this morning, okay? God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to speak to us about. And Father, I know I know the challenge right now is that people are thinking about what was last week or what lies ahead next week. And I pray that in this moment that we will give you our undivided attention. But more importantly, God, we will respond accordingly. In your name I pray. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, you'll be going there in just a second in Mark chapter 4. If you got it on your phone, whatever you use, Mark chapter 4, we're going to be there in just a moment. But I want to set the table for where we are today, because you've been walking through each of these little segments of Psalm 23rd Psalm. And so each one of these we've looked at each week, and you're just getting a little snippet of them, but the overall thing is amazing. Here's some things I've learned about sheep. Maybe you know this. If any of you work with sheep, you know this. They're defenseless. They're prone to wandering. They're stubborn, panic easily, need constant care. They can't be driven. They must be led. And that's kind of a thing about sheep. And that's some of the things I have learned. Aren't we as humans kind of the same way? Defenseless at times, prone to wandering, stubborn, we panic easily, we need constant care, and we tend to follow better and not be driven. And so I see that as certainly true. I will also tell you that this particular passage, Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm, is all about trust. All of it is about trust. When you look at the passage, look at it and see trust and read it. And if you pay attention to the words that David used, you'll see that. The other thing I've noticed is if you break it down into two segments, I like this. The first half of the 23rd Psalm shows us how he leads us. The last part of it shows you that he's with you all the way. And that's what we're going to see today, is that he is with us. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read the passage, and then we're going to kind of set the table for how what the valley is for us and what that looks like for us. So let's look at this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake." And then the passage we're going to camp on today is this, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." Now, if you don't hear anything else I say today, that you are with me is really important, because that's a promise, okay? And David had experienced that firsthand. That's why he could say that. That's how he could say that, okay? And that's important. And like verse 5 says this, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So let me go back to our verse. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, growing up, every time I saw that verse or that passage, most of the time, I always equated that with a funeral, right? I've heard it preached at funerals, and I kind of, that's where you hear it. That's where, oh, valley of the shadow of death. We must be headed to a funeral. And when you think about it, it was David's season of life. He had lots of things going on in his world that it was hard. It was hard. I don't know about you, but I don't really like the valley of the shadow of death. That's hard. That's a hard place to be. That's a hard place for any of us but it's part of where we have to go sometimes. I'm not really fond of that. So here's my question to you. Have you ever done something or been a part of something that you thought, I might die if I do this? When I was a kid, when I was thinking about the valley of the shadow of death, I didn't think about the death part. And so unbeknownst to my parents, how many of y'all did stuff that your parents didn't know and you're glad they didn't know? Okay, good. When I was a kid, we lived in Wichita, and my dad was military, so we were at McConnell Air Base down there, and all the kids that lived in our cul-de-sac, and I should preface, it's middle school boys, so do the math, and so we would get out in this field adjacent to our houses, and one of our friends had a real bow and a real arrow, okay, and we played this game. He would take it, and he would shoot it up into the sky, and we would all run and wait for the arrow to hit the ground. Yeah, it's crazy. I know. And it's a new game they're doing at Super Summer this year, too, Colin. And so we would play this game, and never once did we think you could be impaled. You would be a little human shish kebab. I mean, not once that we would all wait and we go, oh, that's pretty, do it again, you know. And so we would do this, not thinking that there's potential death waiting at our door. Until one day, we were playing this game and we all did our scattering thing. And I remember because my mom, our kitchen window looked out into the field in which my mom would be at the kitchen. She goes, "What were we getting?" Oh, we're playing kind of a game of tag. And you get tagged by an arrow, you know, here you go. And so we're all playing, and there's about a dozen of us, and kid shoots the arrow up, and when he shoots it up in the sky, if you do it right, you don't really see it. It just goes up, and you don't even know where it is, the wind, all that. And so we're waiting, and we all do our thing, and it's one of those games that you play. It's kind of like freeze tag. Like, once you stop, you can't move, and you got to stay there. And so you got to wait for the arrow to come down. So we're waiting for the arrow to come down, and for the first time in all of our playing, this kid is standing there, and the arrow comes down and hits his shoulder and down and sticks into the ground. And do you know that all of us thought this could be a dangerous game? For the first time. Like, somebody could actually be hurt. And it's interesting because we don't really like the valley part. We like the mountaintops. We like the serene, beautiful sights. I have friends going to Colorado. My sister just moved out there. She sends me photos and tells me how cool it is out there. We like the view top up there, but the valley is where God, I hate to tell you this, does his best work. He does his best work in the valley. It's where he does some amazing things. So let me tell you a little bit about the valley, because I need to make sure you understand the valley and kind of where we're headed. The valley of the shadow of death and still waters shows that God can lead you to both. He can lead you to both. And you need both. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. The valley for all of us comes in all shapes and sizes. It can be relational. A valley could be your marriage is cratering. It could be a wayward child. It could be health. It could be job. It could be relationships. It could be change. It could be lots of things, right? It could be coming out of a pandemic. It could be lots of things. Valleys take all shapes and sizes for all of us. And they look different for each of us. And so they affect us. And then some of them are hard. Some of them take a while to get through. The other thing I'll say this, and this is really important, that all valleys are not related to sin, okay? All valleys are not related to sin. Now, let me also say this, some are, okay? Some are. Some are because we've put ourselves there because of decisions that we've made or decisions we haven't made. Some of those have put us there. But I will say to you that not sometimes, as we're going to see in our passage here in just a moment, it wasn't the sin of Jesus that got him there. It was following his heavenly Father to the next season of life. I will also tell you this, that the valleys often cause amnesia that you are his child. When you're in a valley, you're thinking, why am I here? Why is this going on? This is so, you just go on and on and on and on. And you're like, why is this happening? I don't understand. And you forget that you're still his child, that you are still his precious child. And that is so important for us to remember. And here's the other thing, and I've already said this a little bit. Valleys are crucial to our faith. We grow best in the valleys. The mountaintops are kind of icing on the cake. When I was a youth pastor, I was always amazed at that when kids would come back from camp, they were on that what we used to call that mountaintop experience. But home was where the valley is. I don't know how many times I'd take kids to camp. They'd go, can't we just stay here? And I remember I told a group of kids one year, I said, what you're getting a glimpse of at camp is what heaven will be like. That's what it'll be like. And I said, but home is where you live this out. And that's the hard part. And valleys are hard sometimes, but they're necessary. You know, Suzanne talked about that a few weeks ago, that, you know, that he leads us beside still waters. The valleys typically is where your best nourishment is. It's where you get your strength. It's where God is doing his great work to strengthen us, and that's important for us. So remember this, obedience that puts us in the valley is often right where God wants us to be. Now, here's the other part of that we forget. Remember, the valley, hear this, the valley can get worse, and it's called disobedience. See, the valley, if God leads you to the valley, something good's going to happen. But if you go there because of disobedience, I mean, we think of David, we think of the Israelites. A lot of disobedience put people in places that God never intended them to be. You know, sometimes those valleys are self-induced. You've ever seen somebody like, that relationship is a train wreck. Everybody sees it but them, but they're still going to go that way, right? Somebody quits a really good job because they think this job is better. You take your pick, and everybody sees it but they do, and a valley also, how did I land here? I can tell you how you land here. Let's look at those steps. And that's important for us to see, is that disobedience is worse in the valley. I love what Larry Osborne said to that effect. He said, tough trials help me Jesus experience aren't always a lot of fun, but without them, there's not much need for God to show up. And that's true, okay? So we're going to set the table here. Jesus, I love this. Jesus has just come out of what you would call a mountaintop moment. He's been baptized. It's kind of an inauguration of his ministry to get rolling. And so this is amazing. We're going to actually start in Matthew 3 at the end of chapter 3, because that kind of takes us where we're going. And so it's a high top moment for him, okay? The desert, I love this. The desert is where Jesus was most vulnerable. Think about it. The desert, he's coming off a mountaintop experience, and then the scripture is going to show us where he's being led. In the desert, he was by himself. He was in the valley, and it was going to be hard for him. I like this a lot. And what Jesus tells us so clearly is, if you're thinking about how many of you take prescriptions? I take prescriptions. Now, is the prescription, it only works if you actually do it, right? Right? Yeah, it only works if you do it. How many of you, when you get the flu and it says take it for 7 days, and after 3 days you feel good and you stop? Beth would be like, no, that says 7 days or whatever. And you're like, no, I've taken what I need to. I feel great now. No, Jesus gives us a clear prescription on how to navigate our valleys. Clear. It's crystal clear. And so he makes it so clear. It's like, just if you'll take his prescription, you'll find the valleys that you go into, they're not going to go away, but it gives you some tools and some understanding of what you need in the valleys, okay? So Matthew 3, I'm going to read 13 through 17, but we're actually going to camp in verse chapter 4. It says this. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would not prevent it, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all the righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, I love this, in 16, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Mountaintop moment, okay? And then starting in chapter 4, look what it says. This is right after that. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and we would call that a valley. Mountaintop moment, and then a valley. And now if you've been a follower of Christ, you have both. You can have a mountaintop moment, but you don't live on the mountaintops. Mountaintops are just moments of celebration. They give you relief. They give you confirmation that you're doing what God's asked you to do. But valleys is kind of where we live our lives. And some of those valleys are hard. And so I love this. So verse 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, the valley, to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights, he was hungry. After 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was probably the most vulnerable he would be in until he was going through the crucifixion experience. He was very vulnerable. I don't know about you, but when you're hungry, do you think well? No. What's the term, babe, that we use with our daughter when she's hungry and tired? What?
Hangry.
Hangry? It's a crazy thing to see somebody who's really hungry and has to eat right now or they may die. And it's funny because we see this, that he was really vulnerable in this moment. His valley moment, 40 days, he's been by himself. He's just out there. And his valley's been 40 days, and it's a long, hard season for him. And so look what happens in verse 3. The enemy comes when you're in your valley and wants to kick you while you're down. The enemy wants to put his boot on your throat and keep you from this relationship that God has for you. He wants you to think about everything else but God. He wants you to think about everything else. He wants you to think about all your circumstances, all that's not right. He wants you to think about everything else that's not going on, that's not going well, so that you don't focus on your relationship with Christ. So look at what he says. It says, and the tempter came and said to him, I love this. The enemy from the beginning of Scripture has wanting all of us to question if God is good, if he's trustworthy. Because look at what it says. One of my favorite words in the Bible is if. Do a little word search and see all the powerful passages that are attached to the word if. It says, if, look at what he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If, like he's calling into question his deity. Is he really? Are you really? Are you and God really? Let's see. I love what Jesus says though. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. So first off, he quotes Scripture because he knows Scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and on their hands, and they will bear you up unless you strike your foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, him you shall only serve. Then the Lord left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. And if you read one of the other accounts of that, it says that the enemy left for a more opportune time. And it's interesting because the enemy came back to him when he was in Gethsemane and was really feeling the pressure of the weight of sin and the gravity of all that was about to transpire. But I love this. Each time, I don't know if you know this or not, but the enemy, Satan, knows Scripture better than most of us. He knows Scripture. And each time that he quotes the Scripture to Jesus, he's twisted it just a little bit, or he's left out something that's pretty crucial. And so if you have not spent time in learning who God is and what he's about and what he promises, the valleys can get tough, because if you don't remember what is written, if you don't remember the promises that are there, if you don't remember the counsel, if you don't remember, then the valleys can get pretty challenging. They can get really challenging, really challenging. And I love this because he's given you a prescription. Know what he says, know what he's promised, know that he's with you so that you can trust him in that, so that you can lean in on him, so that when you are going through a valley, you know that if he promises to be with you, then he's with you. He doesn't say, well, yours is not as big a valley as somebody else's, so I'm going to spend some more time there. He doesn't do that. But I love, here's some things that the valley teaches us that Jesus was experiencing when we look at this passage. It's this. When you're in a valley, I like this. It points us to be self-sufficient. When he says, Jesus, turn that bread, like, you can do this. Like, how many of us, when we get into a valley, like, I'm just going to plow on, I'm going to do this. There's a series of videos out when Grant was doing the thing on mental health and wellness. About that time, they started putting out videos. Like, I remember several where there's a guy that's weightlifting, and he's lifting too much weight, and it's sitting here. And a guy walks up to him and says, hey, would you like me to help? He goes, nope, I'll figure it out. And then there's another one where a guy is parachuting and his parachute won't open. And another parachute guy comes down beside him and says, hey, dude, you want some help? He goes, nope, I'll figure it out. Either one does not sound very good. But I think one of the things that the enemy likes us to do is like, you just figure it out. You're strong. You're mature. You've been around a while. You can figure this out. And so we don't lean in on God, and our valleys get harder instead of easier. And that's so true of us. The other thing I've noticed about this passage and what it teaches us is that what the enemy wants to do is this. He wants you to question, does God really care? Does God really care about my season of life? Does God really, so-and-so, their life seems so much easier than mine. Let me just help you out. Social media only gives you highlight reels of people's lives, not the real deal. Okay, just know that. You get the highlight reels. Very few do you get the transparency stuff. But he wants you to question God's goodness. Remember the word if? You know, go back to Adam and Eve. If, did God really say? And so he wants you to question God's goodness. He wants you to question, does God really care? And so when you're in valleys, he wants to kind of pour water on that, like, oh, you can't really trust him, you care. If he really cared, you wouldn't be here. The other thing I'll say about valleys, there are no shortcuts. We like shortcuts, and sometimes we seek shortcuts, but shortcuts typically don't get us very far, maybe more trouble. And so Jesus clearly tells him there's no shortcuts. Jesus knows that if he bends his knee to him for just even a second, then his whole purpose for coming is pointless. And it would have been easier. Like, you just bend your knee for just a second. You can stand back up, but just a second. And so when we look at valleys, there's no shortcuts. There's no easy path. The path that you're on is the one that God is leading you with, but he is leading. You're not solo. You're not by yourself. And that is so important for us. I'm an animal nerd guy. And something I've learned, I used to watch a lot of animal shows, and you guys know this. A herd, especially in Africa, if a zebra or wildebeest or gazelle or any of those, if they get away from the herd and they're off by themselves, are they more vulnerable? Yes or no? They're always more vulnerable. A lion, a leopard, a cheetah, always are looking for the outliers, the ones that are kind of over here or over here. They're not part of the herd. There's strength in numbers. And so when you're in your valley, you go, oh, I'll just figure this out. I don't want anybody to know. I'll be too embarrassed. I'll be whatever. That's nonsense. If he's given you a church family to love on you and invest in you, to walk with you, and the most important thing you can do is to say, this is a season I'm going through. Could you pray for me? What do I do? God's put people around us for the purpose of helping us get through valleys. It's just, will you let somebody do it? Will you allow somebody to walk with you through your valley? So there's no shortcuts. So let's go back to our verse for just a second. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Think about that. Whatever season you're walking through, you are with me. Earlier this year, we had just moved up here. It was a whirlwind. We moved up here in November. And some of you know, but Beth's brother got COVID with some other complications, and we lost him in January. And that was a valley. It was a hard valley. Still kind of is. It's surreal to us that I won't see Hal right now. I'm used to seeing him at family get-togethers, and we like the same foods. And whenever he had a birthday, I benefited because we ate the same things. But it was, you know, valleys. And here's the other thing I'll tell you. I used to tell people when I was pastoring that everybody's valley, some of them are longer and some of them are shorter. And you don't ever say to somebody, you ought to be over that by now. Because everybody's valley takes a little longer. Everybody's valley looks a little different. And it kind of comes with grief. And so you give each other some grace and some slack. But even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. That means I won't fear the enemy because God is with me. And that means that God is greater than the enemy who's against you. Okay? Here's a few things that I glean out of this passage that ties us back to 23rd Psalm. It's this. Valleys are where we get his constant care. He doesn't abandon us in our valleys. Even if it's sin, he doesn't abandon you. Think about David for just a second. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He is adulterer. And he's done all these things. And Jesus, God's like, I'm not leaving you where you are. He sends Nathan. Nathan confronts him. And boom, here we are. Valleys are where we get his constant care. Something else that this is really important about this passage to this, Jesus has walked our valleys personally. He knows. He knows what it's like to walk a valley. He does. He knows them well. He has never, and this is a good one, he is never surprised about the valley you're walking in. Like, he's never caught off guard like, how did you get here? He's never caught surprised by your valley or my valley. I want to read the passage to you again. But I want to emphasize something else this time. And it's this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that. All I can think of and all I see is the valley part. That's all that's in my head. That's all I can see. That's all I'm consumed with. But it's when I remember that he is with me, the valleys are possible to get through. Valleys are doable and they're hard. But this promise is from him for a purpose, that you have a holy God who desires to walk with you through all seasons of life. And that is so important for us to get through. You are with me. You might forget that. You might think, man, I need to be reminded that the valley. So here's, let me ask you just to be a moment of trend. When I was a pastor, I asked my congregation lots of questions. How many of you would say you're in some type of valley right now? Just show me your hand. Okay, several of you. And you may not see yours like a valley, or you may be like, well, I don't, maybe it is a valley. And valleys look different for everybody. We already talked about that. But I know that your valley alone is not what God intended. He intended you to walk with him and allow him to walk with you. And then he gave you some wonderful people to be around you to help you get through the valley. See, sheep can't go through a valley by themselves. They need a good shepherd. And those good shepherds have good people that help them do it. And when you get a church family to help you walk, you don't have to do it alone. Because God's given you himself and others to help you in those valley seasons. And here's what I've learned about valleys, is your valley likely will be an opportunity to help somebody with theirs. Okay? Your valley will be an opportunity to help somebody with their valley. And that's so true for you and I this morning. Let me show you one more story. I was a youth pastor early in my ministry. And the pastor that I worked with he lied, point blank lied about some things. And I remember we were in a meeting and we were having this hard discussion and he pleaded the fifth. He wouldn't even answer the questions because he knew it would incriminate him. And it was really hard. And so you know what happened to me? I left that church bitter and angry. And I was in a valley, a dark valley. And you know what happened? It got darker. Even though I went to a new church, it got darker. I didn't get better, I got worse. I didn't let anybody know. I'll figure it out. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be this angry. I shouldn't be this resentful. And it got worse. It went on for years until I was with some other youth pastors and we were at a conference. And I asked them to come around me and pray because I didn't like where my soul was headed. I didn't like the things I was thinking. I was so hurt. I was so angry. But my valley got darker and darker. And I was sitting here telling people about the presence of God in their lives, but I wasn't allowing him in this area of my life. And it wasn't until I got some people around me that God healed me. But I had to allow myself that. So I love this passage. This is out of the book of the shepherd. Philip Keller wrote this. If you ever want to read about the 23rd Psalm, is read that. This great passage, or this quote, is kind of fits us where we are, and then a season of prayer and worship is this. As Christians, we will sooner or later discover that it is in the valleys of our lives that we find refreshment from God himself. It is not until we have walked with him through some very deep troubles that we discover he can lead us to find our refreshment in him there in the midst of our difficulty. You have a God who wants to walk with you through the midst of your difficulty. And I want to pray. And then here's the thing. If you've got leaders in here, you've got Connect Group leaders, if you just, during the music, if you just want to pray with them, I'm available. I'll pray with you. Just an opportunity to say, this valley thing has been real in my life. And I want to be reminded that we have a holy God who walks with us through our valley, who loves us through our valley. So let me pray. God, I just ask for the next few moments. There may be some listening wherever they are, God, that their valley is real. It may have been it just recently, or it may have been in it a while, God. But I pray that they would find refreshment. I pray that they would be reminded of your presence in their life, Father. I pray that they would know that you are with them through their valley, and that you are acquainted with what their valley is like because your own Son went through it for us. So for the next few moments, God, I pray that we would lean in on you, we would allow you to speak into our world, and that we would receive that peace, that comfort, that security, that reminder that though we are in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.
I invite you to stand and sing with us.
All the same, no less God within the shadow.
that song talks about singing songs of deliverance and a story from the Bible that is essentially tells a story of deliverance, and that we get to sing about is Exodus, where the Israelites are liberated from Egypt, from their own slavery. And so to conclude service, we're going to sing a song we've sung around here a lot called Egypt. It just tells that story, but ultimately it's a song of deliverance. It proclaims our freedom that Jesus has offered us when he liberated us from our own slavery. So let's sing this together, and then we'll have our closing time. I won't forget the wonder of how you brought deliverance, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh, Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord.
Swallowed up forever by the fury of your love.
stay standing while Matt comes up on stage.
Matt Bevins, and I'm one of the interns here at Western Hills, and I'm really glad that you all could be here this morning, and for those of you online, we're glad that you're tuning in. One of the great things that I get to do is help people take those next steps in their walk with Christ, and one of the best ways to do that is to get connected with one of the leaders or pastors here at the church. If you look in your rows, you'll see connection cards, and we'd ask that if you're here this morning and you have anything that you need, prayer requests, talk through something, getting connected with a connect group, we ask that you fill this out. And you can drop it in one of the kiosks at the back of here or down in the south lobby. If you're new to Western Hills or you're a guest visiting today, we want to know that you're here. We want to learn a little bit about you. So if you'd fill this out also, put your name down here and a phone number that we could contact you at, that'd be awesome. And if you take your card down to the guest table, the welcome table down in the south lobby, there's a goodie bag, and I must say they have some delicious scones in them. So we encourage you to fill these out and get connected. But we also have an excellent opportunity coming up on July 21st. So each year we do a supply drive for school supplies, and we donate them to MacArthur Elementary School. Usually we take those supplies and we give them to the school and they distribute them to the kids. This year, we were asked to come to the school and to hand out backpacks to the kids and to be there and be involved. And so this is the first time we get to do that, and we're looking for some volunteers to come help with setup, prepare food, take down, and hand out the backpacks from 3:30 to 7 p.m. On July 21st. And we've got it broken out into two different groups. We've got 3:30 to 5:30 and then 5:30 to 7. We're still looking for about 4 volunteers for the 3:30 to 5:30, and we're looking for 8 volunteers for the 5:30 to 7. So if you would be interested in doing that, come talk to me after service. We'd love to get you plugged in and get connected. But we had a great drive, and we've got this wonderful opportunity. So we pray that God will allow us to continue to bless the city and allow us to go be the church in our community. But as is tradition, we're going to finish with a blessing over each other. So if you join me, in Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church.